Time to introduce the first of a new series that will help people who are complete novices in the JFW scripting language to come to grips with it. At least, that's the rather laudable goal that we've set, Jim Snowbugger.
If you are not a JAWS for Windows user, you may be wondering why you want to sit through discussion about scripting for JAWS for Windows, and it may be that ultimately you don't. But in this first segment, you'll learn some general Windows concepts that would be useful. And if you're like me, you're beginning to increasingly get the feeling that none of these screen readers is perfect. They've all got their own shortcomings and their own quirks and their own strengths. And which one is actually right for you really depends on what application you're trying to operate at the moment. And that's the way it is. So being aware of what the other guy does can be fairly useful to you, and I try to do that myself. In fact, I'm thinking about buying both of the leading ones just because there are cases where one works better than the other. And if it's possible for you to do that, then that's the strongest position to be in. Of course, to know whether you need to do that or whether there's any benefit in it for you relies on having some idea what the other guy's screen reader does, how it operates, what it can do. So you'll learn a lot about JAWS here because that's the one I happen to know about. And I'm studying up on the rest of them to see what they can do. In this series of broadcasts, we'll be talking at a fairly technical level, but we won't do that right away. First off, we're going to identify some pretty basic concepts and try to build up our understanding little by little. So we could put little building block upon little building block and kind of move together. And that way be of use to a wider variety of people, including those of you who are really not up on this programming stuff. So that's what we're going to try to do here. And we'll take questions from you through the email as well to help guide the discussion. First off, this week, let's talk a little bit about what a window is, because it's the most basic element in the universe. It's where we get all of the information from the application, and it's how we can make the application do things. So, what is a window? A window is really just a region on the screen. That's how it shows up to the sighted user. It may or may not have a border around it, but it does occupy some area on the screen. It may be that it's not always visible. So, that allows us to get at it even though it's not on the screen. It may be that it's obscured by another window, but nonetheless, it's a piece of information. Generally, windows have a number of attributes, aspects that we find of interest. For example, each window has a type. Maybe that would be an edit box or a checkbox or multi-select dialog box, or you name it. There are just tons of different types of windows. We can find out what type a window is. If we find a window at random on the screen, we can query the system and find out its type. It also has a subtype. It has a class. And all of these are just pieces of information that help us more specifically identify exactly what it is. Now, windows are arranged in a hierarchy in the system. By that I mean, if a window is contained within another window, it is called a child window of that window. You've heard the terms child and parent window from time to time, and that's what that really means. There's really one great parent, the greatest parent of them all, the biggest window in the system that always exists, is the desktop. And it contains all other windows that are opened. An example of this relationship might be when you press Alt-F-O in your favorite application to open a file. You're presented with the File Open dialog box. That box is just a rectangle on the screen that is a window, and it contains other windows. Even the little Cancel and OK buttons that are located in the window there are little windows in their own right, and they have all of these various aspects that we'll be talking about, type and class and subtype and on and on. In this case, the dialog box is the parent of the cancel and OK, the cancel and OK, and also the edit boxes that are in there, and everything, all the list boxes and everything that's in your typical file open dialog box are children. They're child windows of the open dialogue box. They consider one another to be peer-level windows, since they're at the same level in the hierarchy. But each of them could contain other windows. In other words, have children. So it's all about parents and children, grandparents, great-grandchildren, organizing this hierarchical structure of windows. So you can always get from one place to another by navigating this tree. Imagine that we have a rectangle on the screen, and we'll call it Window 1. It will be our starting point. Window 1 contains two small windows, Windows A and Window B. They're children of 1. Window A contains another window, a little tiny window called X, and Window B contains another little tiny window called Y. A little three-layer hierarchy. So A and B are really peer-level windows to one another inside 1. But X and Y are not really peer-level because they have different parents. And if you wanted to navigate from Window X to Window Y, you would crawl up the tree, finding your parent A, and then you'd ask A who his peers are, and you'd find, okay, B is a peer, we'll go to B, and then you'd ask B who's your first child, and he'd say, here's Y. So we crawl through the tree to find our way from X to Y. We do that kind of thing all the time as we move through the system to find out where we really want to be. Now, a window is actually represented in memory inside your computer through the recording of some key data. There's a little chunk of memory that's set aside to describe everything that there is, everything that is known about that window. And the key to getting at that chunk of memory is a little number called the window handle. The handle is just a number created by the operating system when a window gets brought into existence. Now, by brought into existence, I mean that not all windows always exist. For example, our file open dialog box doesn't normally exist. It's not on the screen. The application knows about it always, of course, but it is only brought into existence when you press the keystrokes to bring that guy on screen. You deal with it, you use it, you press the OK button, and it's dispatched. In that case, the window is then destroyed, taken totally out of existence, doesn't exist anymore. So what happens when you press the keystrokes? The operating system lays aside this memory to describe the window, fills in the details, and assigns a handle. Now, we can get at that handle, and we'll be talking a lot about how to do it. And it's an important thing to us because the handle is the key to getting at all of the other information about the window. So we can go to the OS with this handle in hand and say, here, tell me everything you know about this guy. Or tell me certain things about him. Well, what kind of information is there laid aside about a window? Well, every window has a type and a subtype code, and it also has a class. And these all mean different things. And it's a little obscure exactly what they are, but a class might be, for example, an edit box. And the type might tell you what kind of edit box that is. Well, the type code might allow you to even further distinguish more specifics about exactly how this thing operates. Most screen readers have the reclassification function built into them. And it's a good thing because what application developers do is they'll take a standard definition of a window, which is provided in the development kit that they use to create the application, and they'll say, well, we want an edit box, but we don't want just an ordinary edit box. We want ours to look a little different so people will know at a glance that they're dealing with our special, extremely important, very sexy application. So they'll make modifications to it, and they'll change the type. And the type will often indicate that it really is an edit box, but maybe it's T_edit or XYZ edit or some screwy name they've made up. And what you can do with most screen readers is say, see this thing? If you ever see this, treat it just like an edit box. Because that's, as far as you're concerned, that's exactly what it is. And with regard to any behavior you're going to be interested in, it is an edit box. So that's what we mean by reclassing, and that's what's accomplished by it. Other information that's laying around in that data structure in the operating system to tell us about this window is a control ID, for example. A control ID is a number which is assigned by the application developer, and very often it can be used to search for a particular window in an application. You can specify that control ID, and JAWS will search through the system and find the window that has that control ID and return its handle to you, which you can then use to access the other information that's laying around about it. For example, the window might contain text, and we can get a hold of that text. It has a position on the screen. It has a size, so we can know where its top and left and right and bottom borders are. A lot of windows have titles, but not all windows do. What you can do is find a grandparent or a grandparent that has a title, and that'll generally tell you the context that you're in. Okay, an example of that would be if you found the handle of the OK button, and you didn't know what do you mean, OK what? Which is often a question that you have as you operate these screen readers when you get cancel and OK, and you wonder what the question is. Well, by finding the handle of the parent window, seeing if that has a title, if not, finding his parent and seeing if he has a title, you can eventually find out what context you're in. And we do this fairly often. It's a good use of the parent-child hierarchy to find the real window, a window with a title. Regarding the text inside a window, it has various attributes. It has a foreground color and a background color. We can always learn that. And we can learn whether any of the text is highlighted. We can get a hold of that which is. I mentioned that windows have locations on the screen. When we talk about their location, we talk about the top left corner of the window, and we give it two numbers, which we call the pixel address of the corner of the window. We talk about pixels because your screen is actually composed of dots of light. Each dot is a pixel, and we talk about them in rows and columns. So what we do is we count down from the top of the screen. That creates the row number. Then we count over from the left side of the screen, and that creates the column number. Those two numbers describe the exact location of the corner of the window. Then we query the operating system to find out its current size information, because those can be changed on the fly. Now, to talk a bit about JAWS and what it can do to customize for an application, there are several things that can be defined on a per-application basis, such as frames. A lot of this is typical for a screen reader. A frame is a rectangle on the screen of interest, which you can use a hotkey to read, or you can detect when certain text is written there, or text of a certain color. A number of things that you can do with frames if you choose to use them. Also, a configuration file for that application is generated, which really controls everything. The way JAWS speaks, the way its keys are handled, there's just really nothing that's not definable on a per-application basis, right down to specific pronunciation dictionaries and that sort of thing. The real power, though, is in the script language itself. And what a script is a bit of logic that you can define or somebody can define for you, which runs under various circumstances. My belief is, without really knowing it for sure, that you could use script language to implement everything that you can define in a set file. It may well be, though, that there are things you cannot do with a set file that a script language would allow you to do just because there are so many more tools there and so much more flexibility. There are two kinds of scripts. One is a keyboard-oriented script which runs when you press a particular key. And you can control, of course, what the key is and what logic gets executed when you press that key. The other kind of script is an event script. This automatically runs when certain things happen, and there are really a fairly substantial handful of events that you can tie scripts to. Things like new text being written to the screen, focus changing from one window to the next, the any key being struck, the cursor hitting the edge of the screen. Really quite a substantial number of things we can trap. Well, that's all of the time we have this week. Next week, we'll get into some more detail. And if you have any questions or something you want clarified, be sure to send us an email at scriptman@acbradio.org.